Welcome back to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I'm so glad you're here with me today. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Normally, I'm joined by my co-host, Pamela, and we get to walk through these conversations together. But this episode, it's just me. Just a quiet space, just us, and I truly believe the Lord is going to meet us here in a very personal way. So wherever you are, maybe the house is finally quiet, you're driving in your car, you're reflecting at the end of a long day, I want you to take a breath, slow down, and lean in. We're stepping into a moment in Scripture that is both deeply theological and deeply personal. A conversation that strips away performance, titles, and even religious confidence, and brings us face to face with a truth we cannot avoid. Nicodemus was not just anyone. He was a teacher of Israel, a Pharisee, a man who knew the law, who studied the scriptures, who lived a life that many would consider righteous. And yet, he comes to Jesus at night, not boldly in the daylight, but quietly, because something in him knew knowledge is not the same as new life. And here's where the conversation confronts us too. Because if anyone could have earned their way into the kingdom, it would have been Nicodemus. But Jesus doesn't affirm his effort. He doesn't point him back to doing more, trying harder, or becoming better. Instead, Jesus says something that cuts straight through every idea of self-sufficiency. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not may not, not might struggle to, cannot. That's the reality of our condition, friends. Scripture teaches us that we are not spiritually neutral. We are spiritually dead, not just weakened, not just struggling, but unable in ourselves to come to God. Our problem isn't just behavior, it's nature. And that's why Jesus doesn't prescribe improvement. He declares necessity, a new birth, a birth that is not of human will, not of effort, not of religious achievement, but of God. Because salvation is not something we produce. It is something God sovereignly works in us. Just like a child does not choose to be born, we do not cause ourselves to be born again. It is the Spirit who gives life. And that truth can feel humbling to all of us, even unsettling, because it removes every ground for boasting. It tells us that no amount of striving, no amount of church attendance, no amount of doing right can bring us into the kingdom. But at the same time, it is deeply comforting. Because if our salvation depended on us, we would never have assurance. But if it depends on God, then it is secure. In this episode, we're going to sit in that tension. We're going to wrestle with what it means to be truly born again, not just in words, not just in identity, but in reality. Because this conversation with Nicodemus is not just about theology. It's about transformation. It's about God, who, in his mercy, doesn't leave us in our deadness, but makes us alive in Christ Jesus, our Savior. So, it is that time now. Get your coffee, your tea, your water, your hazelnut latte. And join me, Tamara, as we talk more about this conversation with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and Nicodemus in the book of John. Audience, let me give you some backdrop on who Nicodemus was. In John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him." So we see Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was disciplined. He was educated. He was respected. He was also a ruler of the Jews, a part of the Sanhedrin. If anyone appeared to be right with God, it was Nicodemus. And yet, he comes to Jesus at night. And this is where we have to be honest. We can be around spiritual things and still not have spiritual life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." You can have the form and still lack the power. You can look religious. You can have the right talk. You can have the right dress. You can have the right movements and be around the right people. But there can be no heart transformation. The text says he came to Jesus by night. Yes, there may have been a fair. But in John's gospel, night often represents spiritual darkness. Nicodemus had knowledge, but not understanding. He had religion, but not regeneration. But something called him to seek out Jesus. In John 6:44, it reads, "No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." If Nicodemus came, it meant God was drawing him. If you feel drawn, if something is stirring you, that is not accidental. That is God at work through the power of his Holy Spirit, causing you to seek, causing you to question, causing you to come. In John 3:3, Jesus gets to the heart of it. Jesus answers Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Straightforward, simple, not works, not improvement, not adjustment. You must be born again into a new life. We naturally think, if I just do better, if I just try harder, but Jesus is not calling you for improvements or for you to exercise your own giftedness or your own measure of success. He is declaring the necessity that you must be born again. And in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus is calling for a spiritual transformation. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 reads, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Do you see what's happening here? God is the one who is giving. I will give you a new spirit. I will take away the stony heart of flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. It is God Himself who is doing the renewal. It is God who is doing the work. Nothing we can do in our own selves, no effort, no amount of service can do this work for us. It's the work of God and His Holy Spirit. And why is this necessary? It's because of our condition. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us were born in sin. David said in the psalm, "In sin did my mother conceive me." We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. So if we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity, there's nothing within us that can help us to be good or to do good. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You know what is dead? You cannot respond. You cannot do. You have no knowledge. And therefore, God Himself is at work, reviving us, renewing us, and giving us new life through the power of His Holy Spirit. Dead people can't work. Dead people can't talk. Dead people can't strive. Dead people cannot revive themselves. And this is why we need God. He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that quickens us. He is the one that draws us. He is the one that renews us. He is the one that restores us. He is the one that helps us. He is the one that transforms us. In John chapter 3, verse 8, we see the work of the Holy Spirit in this renewal. Jesus says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Audience, we cannot control the wind. We can determine maybe by looking at the leaves of the trees that it's going this way or that way. We cannot control its intensity. We don't know where it comes, and we do not know where it's going. Just how we cannot control the wind or know where it is going or where it comes from, we cannot produce the new life that God requires of us. It is not by works, Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not how many times we go to church. It's not serving or singing in the choir. It's not based on how much we give and all of the good things that we may think may help us enter into the kingdom of God. No amount of works, no amount of giving can get us into, we cannot buy our way into the kingdom of God. We cannot work our way into the kingdom of God. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 clearly states, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. And scripture tells us that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. But according to God's mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that should humble us. It humbles us and it gives us great comfort, because salvation is not based on our strength, on our intellect, on our intelligence. It is not based on our talent, but on his mercy. Because of God's mercy and his great love for us, he extends the gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus points to the cross. In John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And Jesus is talking about his crucifixion and his death on the cross. We recently came out of the Easter observance of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And it's a time of reflection of, we think about the Garden of Gethsemane and his great anguish there, praying and being strengthened for the journey ahead. We think about his bruises. We think about the lashes. We think about the cross he bore. And we think about him being nailed to the cross. And that nailing to the cross, the blood that was shed, his bruised body, was because he was bearing the weight of sin on himself. Scripture says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He took on our sins in his body, nailed our condemnation to the cross. And because of that, we can have eternal life. And he's explaining to Nicodemus, "You are a great ruler in Israel. You have knowledge. You know the law. You know the prophets. But you do not know how to be born again. It's not of works. It's not of positioning. It's not of titles." Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up." And John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear the sin of the world on the cross. And he did this because he loves us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wages is something that we earn because of our sinfulness, because of our rebellion. We have earned death. But here is what we should rejoice in. God has given us the gift. His gift is in his Son, Jesus Christ. If we receive his Son as our Lord and Savior, we receive eternal life. That is what God gives us through his Son. He said in John 3:16 that whosoever, that's anyone, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what God is calling you to today. And what should be our response? Our response should be belief. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Are you hearing this? Believe. call upon, confess, and thou shalt be saved. To be clear, it's not Christ plus works. It is not Christ plus efforts. It's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We don't see an immediate response, but later, he speaks for Jesus, Nicodemus. He identifies with Jesus. That night mattered. Something took place in that response, and Nicodemus had an opportunity to stand for Jesus. This passage leaves us with one clear truth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, enter the kingdom of God. Think about that. Reflect on that. You might say, Tamara, I go to church. I volunteer for the food program. I sing in the choir. I give an offering. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Are you born again? Think about Nicodemus. He was said by Jesus to be a ruler of Israel. He sat in the highest place of spiritual authority at the Sanhedrin level. He would have known the law. He would have memorized the Old Testament, understood what the prophets were saying. But in that moment, Jesus told him, you must be born again. And he did not understand. Jesus had to explain it to him. Think about that. What do you recognize? You may have religion, but have not been regenerated. You have not been transformed spiritually. And here is my response. You can respond to that message right now. You can be born again. What does that mean for you? It means surrendering your heart, your will, and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing Him to live in you and through you to bring about His divine purposes, not only for your life, but for those around you, allowing Him to use you for His honor and His glory. And if you want to do that today, I want you to honestly join me in this prayer. Say these words after me and contemplate, reflect, commune with the one who made you. Come before the Lord honestly and say, Lord, your word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I see that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, that He died for my sins and rose again. Your word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So today, I turn from trusting in myself, trusting in my works, trusting in my abilities, and I trust in Christ alone. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a new heart. Cause me to be born again by your Spirit. I surrender to you as Lord. And I ask you to come into my life and have complete control and authority. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you sincerely prayed that prayer to the Lord, God's word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, not might be, shall be saved. Now, walk with Him. Stay in His Word. Connect to a Bible-believing church. And if you are in church, you can tell your youth pastor, you can tell your pastor, you can tell your men's ministry leader, your women's ministry leader, your youth leader. I have given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need you to help me and make me accountable to the things of the Lord. So, continue pressing on for Him and ensure that you connect to a Bible-believing church. Thank you for listening. Thank you for walking with me on this journey with Nicodemus. And I pray that you have been blessed. Continue to trust in God.